With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Coming up on today's episode, we break down the Jets' Game 3 loss in Colorado and look ahead to how Winnipeg could avoid a 3-1 deficit.
Hello, everybody. Recording live from somewhere.
What's good and welcome to another episode of Skates and Plates on the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brandon Rewicki. You can follow me on Twitter at Brandon_Rewicki or the podcast at Skates Plates Pod. All right, thanks for tuning in, everybody. Coming at you on a Saturday morning. We'll get right into it here after a bit of a heartbreaker. Late Friday night, CJOB's Tyson Rewicki here with us to break down what ended up being a bit of a romp for the Avalanche, but a tight game through 40 minutes at least, 6-2, 2-1 up for Colorado. Tyson, how are we doing today?
We're surviving after a late game, you know, a tough loss, but it's the playoffs, so you got to show up even when you're hurting. Even when you're not 100%. So that's what we're doing right now.
Well, sir, surviving is an interesting word to use there, Tyson, because, and we'll get right into it here, it sure looks like Winnipeg has completely entered survival mode, and they have taken a couple big haymakers from the Avalanche here. And, you know, I thought it would be interesting, too. You know, obviously it was just ungodly late last night. And you recorded, you're already behind watching the PVR version. So we're doing it 9 a.m. Saturday. I'm always interested in games like that, especially when they come after a bad loss, because everybody's obviously pissed last night. But you have, like, you sleep on it, you wake up, and maybe you get a new perspective on the game. I don't think that's totally the case with me. And it's funny, too, because I'm probably going to be optimistic about Winnipeg's potential chances in game four. But it's really, really hard to ignore the fact, Tyson, that through three games of this series, the Avalanche have heavily outplayed the Jets. And to be frank, despite the team, how many goals have they scored? 11 goals through three games? The Jets are very, very lucky not to be down 3-0 in this series already. Punctuated with what we saw there with a third period explosion by the Avalanche. We'll get to what happened that led to the cavalcade of goals against for Winnipeg, but just taking a look at the series as a whole through three games, can you come to a different conclusion than mine that the Jets have just been outplayed, outclassed so far by Colorado?
Although they have their moments. Like, they have had moments throughout the
series. That's not what I'm asking.
All right. The Avs have outplayed the Jets. Yes, I am in agreement with you.
I'm not saying the Jets haven't had their moments, but isn't that kind of the definition of being outplayed?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like you have your moments, but I don't know what the opposite of a moment is. But Colorado has had the opposite of moments in terms of dictating where the game is being played, the pace that it's being played so far. It's just—it's pretty wild that it's night and day from that 7-0 regular season loss a few weeks. That feels like an eternity ago, that 7-0 Jets victory. But it's just crazy how Colorado, they did it. They found a way to flip the switch. And Winnipeg's been left in the dust so far.
Yeah, and that's what's they're showing, that they're a cup winning team. Like, this is a team that has a lot of guys who have won Stanley Cups and know what it takes to win in the playoffs, and the Jets just haven't quite caught up to them yet. And that's kind of, and that applies to almost every area of the ice too, where it's, to me, the biggest problem right now is that it seems like they can't stop the Avalanche's transition.
Yeah.
And that's one of the biggest things of the Avalanche. That's like, that is how you stop the Avalanche, is don't let them transition out of their own end, enter the zone with speed. And they've just done that all series. So at this point, like, what do you do? Do you, like, I, at this point, I feel like you almost have to run a more aggressive forecheck and run, you know, the F1 going, getting in there below the hash marks, and have the F2 still in the D zone. And that's, you just need to up your pressure a little bit more. I just think that's the only answer.
You're 1,000% right. I mean, when you look at Colorado's struggles, and even their struggles are pretty relative in the playoffs, but since they've won the cup, and in and around then, right, they've lost to Vegas in the playoffs, and then they lost to Seattle last year in the playoffs. What do those two teams have in common? A big, heavy, tenacious forecheck. And you're 100% right. If and the Avs don't have a big decor either. Like, Manson's their one sort of bruiser. But other than that, in and around 5'11", 6 feet, for the most part, just under 200 pounds. That's your only hope, is to get on them before they can get going. And for whatever reason, the Jets look two or three steps off it right now.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even oh, like they're close, right? Like, they could just get a bounce this way, that they're not even touching Colorado for large stretches of these games. And you're right, you're just playing right into the Avalanche's strength, right into their hands, and Winnipeg doesn't have an answer for it right now. So I think that's pretty clear. It was evident as the game kind of poured along in game three that you can't play passive. You can't sit back whatsoever against Colorado. You have to try and hem them inside their zone a little bit more. You can't have these one and dones like we've seen way too often this series for the Jets. And that's kind of it, Tyson. Like, all the, like, both of those things are combining and culminating and leading to prolonged stretches of Avalanche dominance, is that the Jets, they can't get into Colorado's zone cleanly. They can't have a 30, 35, 40 second shift inside Colorado's zone because it's a shot from the outside. Colorado picks it up, goes right back the other way, and they're not able to get a good forecheck going. And so the Avalanche just transition right back out of their zone. It goes right back into Winnipeg's end for 20 seconds. You know what I mean? Like, they, both of those things are coming together right now at the worst possible time. And so it's going to be on Bones and the coaching staff to adjust this, because you can't continue with this. And I mean, you look at the numbers, and look, were the refs good in this game? No, there was a number of penalties. I think more so they missed some clear Avalanche calls as opposed to the ones the Jets got called again. I mean, right, like Velarde, it's a high stick. You can't debate it. But there were certainly some calls that could have went in Winnipeg's favor in this. But it's also incredibly hard to ignore that right now the Jets are being outshot 120-77. 43% Corsi, 43% expected goal. Like, right? Like, you're just not, and their penalty kill, which we'll get to in a bit, is horrendous. So, yes, the referees didn't do them any favors necessarily in game three, but that's just sugarcoating it, right? There needs to be a massive jump in performance from Winnipeg in this series that we really haven't seen so far outside of a couple periods. Really, it's been pretty much one period in each game that you could point to and say that was a good period by the Jets.
Yeah, and we all thought that, you know, the Jets' forward depth would be a big factor in this one, and so far it's been the opposite, right? Like, Colorado has really played, like, their forward group has been awesome up and down the lineup, and they're getting contributions from every single line right now. And it's just, you need a lot more from the second line especially. And I think that may, that come game four, we start to see a little bit of a shakeup, and maybe the lines get rejigged a little bit. Hopefully.
You have to, yeah.
Yeah. Like, hopefully, but they just got nothing going. And even the top line, like, I think that Velarde's played well. Connor has played well. And, you know, Shifley hasn't been the same Shifley that he was in the regular season. And that's been a big problem too, is that he hasn't been able to kind of be the straw that stirs his drink for the Jets offense. And, you know, they're suffering some of the consequences right now. And so I think your only option is to check it and see what else works. Maybe we even see Cole Perfetti come back into the lineup. Like, I don't know what we see, but you got to do something different here.
I mean, yeah, that's really it, right? Like, the numbers that we've shared so far, it's just not... I can't envision the Jets throwing this same lineup out there for game four and this being a complete 180 by the team. Like, there needs to be a significant shift and upheaval in terms of who they're throwing out there and when they're throwing them out there. And I agree, it starts up front for the team. I mean, Mark Scheifele was awful in game three. He's terrible. I mean, he's been great for this team all regular season. He was okay in the first two games, really bad in game three. I mean, and ultimately, it was that fourth goal that was kind of the backbreaker for the Avalanche, right? Like, whatever, you give up a goal in the 4 minutes, that's kind of expected a little bit with Colorado's firepower. It's a one-goal game. You're still in it. Like, it's not there's so much time left. And then he makes just a piss-poor effort at the Colorado blue line, a terrible turnover, and then he doesn't get back in time, and it's basically game over at that point. He's got to be better. Ehlers has got to be better. I mean, the second line, yes, they get a goal. They've got to be better. I mean, even Connor Vilardi, I mean, they've been okay, but you need more out of them as well. Like, I just think it all points to a big shakeup inside that top six. I think there's no doubt whatsoever that Cole Perfetti needs to get in. I mean, this team just needs more offensive firepower at this point. Where he slots into the lineup, I don't know. But the fourth line was good in game two. Not the same case in game three. I mean, it's been pretty heavily outshot for that trio. And I think taking Gus out of the lineup and putting Cole Perfetti in is an easy enough decision for the Jets. And then they can figure out. I kind of like having Perfetti on the fourth line there, in the sense of, if somebody isn't going in the top six, Cole, you're going up. Sorry to somebody that's a top six guy, but you're coming down because we can't wait anymore, right? Like, we're basically on our last legs here. So, yeah, I think we're going to see a major shift in terms of the Winnipeg Jets lines. I'll be intrigued to see if what we saw near the end of the game comes into fruition to start, because. All, you know, yes, the Jets were chasing it down two or three, but we did see Scheifele, Connor, and Ehlers together. I think it was once it was a two-goal deficit. So then in that case, you would probably go Scheifele, Connor, Ehlers, Vilardi, Monahan, Toffoli. I don't know how you feel, Tice. I almost wonder, though, with how plodding Monahan and Toffoli have looked at times, if you need one of Connor and Ehlers on that line just to give a little bit of speed and to push the defenders back just a touch. But if Bones trots the same line out for game four, it's just stubbornness beyond belief at that point.
Yeah. And I honestly wouldn't even mind seeing, you know, a Perfetti, Monahan, Connor line with either Scheifele, Vilardi, and then we see Toffoli, Lowry, Nino. Like, to me, that's the best four, top nine that you could create out of what you have for the Winnipeg Jets right now. And if you're going to have trouble scoring goals, why not put some firepower on your top three lines? Like, it's just not working right now. And, you know, we rave about Lowry's ability to grind guys down. Well, he's not really doing that right now, right? Like, so if they're not going to be able to play to a certain strength, then maybe we try and find some ways that we can get some extra goals, like, a little bit further down the lineup. And I think that's the way to go. And Toffoli hasn't warranted any – his play hasn't warranted any reason to keep him in the top six. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't really deserve to be a top six forward right now. And the way that Perfetti ended the year, I think that showed that he still has a little bit of juice left. And, you know, he's going to be pumped up for game four. Maybe he becomes a hero. Puts the Jets on the right path, and then all of a sudden, you know, like it's a butterfly effect thing that happens here. So I agree with you. I think that this team just needs to have a more of a balanced 12 forwards. And I think even throwing Vlad and, let's say, Gus and Appleton, like, I think that's, or I follow, I don't know who comes out of the top out of the, on the fourth line there, but I think that line can generate offense on their own too. And I think that gives you an advantage almost on every line except the top line.
Yeah, that top line, man. That is... It sucks. It just sucks.
McKinnon had 8 shots.
Like, playoff McKinnon is a different beast. Like playoff McKinnon, McDavid, playoff Dreisaitl, 1A, 1B, 1C. It is tough. And because Makar, like he's back. Effing sucks, man. it's tough. It's tough because you need to play. The Jets can't avoid being territorially dominated. Nice wine glass, Tyson.
Thank you.
That's such a like 20-year-old moved into my new place drinking water out of a wine glass at 9:30. That's such a young. That's hilarious. But like, you can't afford to get dominated the way the Jets have so far, because they have McKinnon, Makar, and they can take over a game at a moment's notice. The fact that they're doing so and they're playing at their peak is tough. It's tough right now for the Jets. But yeah, no. Forward core, I think we're kind of in agreement there. There's got to be a rejig. And I don't even – normally we would do the whole put Ehlers up on the top line thing because his play warrants a promotion. I don't even know if that's necessarily the case. It's just more so – like we got to try something different here.
Yeah, Ehlers definitely doesn't deserve it for that.
He hasn't been bad, but I mean that's kind of the problem too. Is the forward group as a whole, they've all been average to underwhelming so far. So we'll see what Bones has cooking when they maybe when they get back to practice later today on the blue line. Tyson, to me the. The issues on the blue line are pretty simple. I don't think the change is going to be made, but Neil Pionk needs to come out of the lineup. That's it. It's been a nightmare series for him. He was able to turn it around against Vegas last year. He's not doing it this time around. I mean, he's getting absolutely obliterated when he's out there on the ice. Any metric you want to look at, shot totals, shot attempts, expected goals, Colorado is feasting. And it's pretty wild too that Brendan Dillon's numbers actually are okay. Like he's gotten some time away from Pionk and he's shown up pretty good. We'll get to the Dillon thing in a little bit. Obviously, I hope for the best for him, but I know it's a risky move. I know he hasn't played in a while, but to me, what do you have to lose putting Colin Miller in for Neil Pionk at this point?
Yeah. What, you're going to get replacement level defending?
You're going to get obliterated on the ice? Well, that's where we're at right now. I was okay with giving Pionk a chance to prove himself. You know what I mean? Like, hey, tough regular season, but last year, same sort of a thing. You brought it up in the playoffs. Not the case this time around. To me, you can't wait. I don't expect the Jets to make a move there. But with all things being equal, to me, it's just a straight swap, Miller for Pionk. And maybe you run a more balanced second and third pair. And you might have to play 30 minutes in game 4, Josh. But that, to me, is kind of the big issue on the blue line. It's been the big issue all season long. And Colorado, with the last change, with the ability to dictate matchups, they're just going to take advantage of it in game 4. There's no doubt about it. So I think a change needs to be made. Do you think there's any chance it happens?
I'm going to, for Neil Pionk, I'm going to go at like 15% chance that he gets taken out of the lineup, especially if Dillon seems like he's going to be out a little bit. I don't agree with it though. Like you traded for a depth defenseman at the deadline for a reason. Right. If someone wasn't performing well enough, well, that's why we went out and got Colin Miller to kind of maybe potentially stabilize the defense in case someone's struggling. And now's the perfect time. Like, hey, if we need to win badly, we lose this game, the series is practically over. Like, we need to win this game. And right now, Neil Pionk's just not doing it. And he's been cooked all year. Like, he really has. And it's sad to see because he had so much. He was a dynamic player when he was first coming into the league, and I don't know if it's confidence. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's injury, but he's just lost kind of all that juice that he's had, and it just does not look like the same Neil Pionk. And at this point, you just have. And you know, if Dylan's going to be out.
Well, let's talk about that because, I mean, I'm pretty squeamish. I only needed to see it once. We all saw the cut in his hand there. That's gnarly. I'll be shocked if he comes back for game four.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to get into it too much, but I absolutely detest when teams do what the Jets did late in the game there. To be, you're not sending a message. You're just acting like idiots, and somebody gets hurt because of it. Didn't need to happen. There's no message being sent. Regardless of that, though, brutal break for Dylan there on his hand. I can't even imagine how many stitches that's going to be to try to close that, let alone is he going to be able to grip a stick, do all that stuff. So I'm going to be shocked if he's able to go. So let's assume that he's out of the lineup, Tyson. Man, I mean, if that's the case, I don't know. I don't really know what you do. I mean, I guess at that point, I mean, the easy one is Sandberg goes up to second pair left shot defenseman. I mean, for me then, Pionk probably stays in. And I go, I think I would probably go Sandberg-Schmidt as my second pair. And then figure it out between Stanley, Miller, and Pionk as the third pair there. I don't know how, if Miller can play his offside, if Pionk can, like, that part of it, I don't know. That always throws a wrench into things. But, I mean, Stanley was completely overwhelmed through the first two games, so I don't know how amped you are to get him back into the lineup.
Not at all. He can't play. I'm sorry.
Some combination of Miller, Schmidt, and Pionk are going to be your other three defensemen in this one. And then I guess at that point, it just comes down to who can play the left side out of Miller, Schmidt, Pionk, right?
Yeah. And yeah, Logan Stanley can't play. I'm sorry. Like, we cannot put him in the lineup at this point. It's everything that you're trying to stop, the way that he was playing the first two games, completely went against the opposite. So I would be very upset with Rick Bowness if he gets put into the lineup. I think, as much as I'm not a huge fan of it, I think I'd toss Sandberg and Pionk together and then just roll Schmidt and Miller, or Sandberg and Miller, Schmidt, Pionk. I highly doubt we see them do a Pionk-Miller pairing, just because two righties on the same pair just doesn't – coaches just don't really do that ever, even though it's not that big of a deal most of the time. But, yeah, like, it's – I don't know. It's going to be tough. This is going to be really tough. One of your better defensemen that has put up consistent numbers for the most part this year is out now, and – you know, now your D depth doesn't look as great as it was heading into the playoffs, right? Like, now it's kind of like, well, how are we going to survive the 30 minutes that Morrissey doesn't play? Like, that's one of the problems going back to the deadline that we were looking at. Like, to be a real contender, this team needed, you know, kind of at least a high end two, maybe, and a low end number one. Like, that was if the Jets got that, they would be bona fide cup contenders, and you know, they're still contenders now, but they don't have that extra firepower on the back end, and I think that's really going to hurt them in the series.
Yeah, they're in a tough spot, no doubt about that, with the injuries and who comes in and who comes out now. But hey, time for the Jets to show that last year's collapse against Vegas is a one-off, right? You still got a chance, and this is where we can kind of be positive about this, Tyson, because I know you got to run soon here. And I'll try to shed a bit of optimism on this. See if you agree or disagree with me. But yes, the Jets have been pretty handily outplayed so far this series. But in their two losses, I mean, they were right there for you know, at least half of the game in game two. And they were right there after 40 minutes with the lead in game three against Colorado. So it's not like they're incapable of taking down the Avalanche, right? It's not like they're being outshot. Oh my gosh, it's 30-10 in shots, and Winnipeg kind of claws their way back into it. It's just been these, pardon the pun, these avalanches that are coming Winnipeg's way. Game two in the second period, three straight. And then the third period in game three, where the Avs, it just kind of cascaded on the Jets there. The power play goal. And then things just completely went off the rails there. Like the Jets have shown that they're capable of matching up with the Avs. It's just got to be a lot more consistent. I'm not going to do the whole 60-minute effort thing, right? Because let's face it, Colorado's going to have stretches where the Jets just have to weather the storm a little bit. But I think it's in there for them, right? Like even though they've been outshot, like they've had a chance to win these past two games. And so maybe it's we need a Hellebuckian performance and he makes 35 stops. And the Jets squeak out a 2-1 win. You know what I mean? Like it's still there for them. And I think it would be one thing if this team was playing at its peak capabilities and they were just getting outclassed. I don't think we've seen the best out of any of the Jets forwards so far.
No.
And there's still a little more to give, I would say, outside of Josh Morrissey so far for some of this back end here. And I think it's also, it's gut check time in the sense of, what do you guys want to be remembered as? The team that just rolls over and dies in the postseason when it gets tough? Or do you want to show a little bit of fight back here, a little bit of pushback? We found a way. And that's the thing too. Like the Jets win game four. It is right. It becomes a coin flip immediately at that point. Even with how well Colorado's played, you get two at home. It's a completely different series. I think if they lose, it's over. So sorry about the optimism there, but I don't think they're totally out of it just yet, even after struggling through these first three games.
Yeah, it's about mitigating kind of like the snowball, right? Like you just can't let play snowball against the Avalanche, and that's kind of what's happened the last two losses. You just got to kind of keep that focus on the next shift. Focus on the next shift. Like it's not you can't have guys kind of like, oh man, we're kind of scrambling here. Like let's just survive these next 5 minutes and kind of regroup when we get to a TV timeout or something. You know, like it's like
go out there and grab the game.
Yeah, exactly.
It's, like, don't wait for Colorado to do something. Go out there and smash somebody, right? Like, Mark Scheifele, pick up the puck, drive to the net. Who the hell cares what happens? Run into Georgiev. Take somebody out. You know what I mean? Like, it's just been so...
Not that
the effort isn't there, but it's just, like, impose your will a little bit when you've got the chance.
Since the Jake Evans hit, Scheifele's really kind of had a timid playoff style. I feel.
Well, he's got to figure it out. Got to figure it out for game four. It would be nice to see Scheifele, I think more so than any of the Jet skaters, for Scheifele to have a statement game in game four.
Agreed.
Right? Where McKinnon's getting all the headlines, rightfully so. You want a chance to prove you're number one center? Go out there and win a game for us. I think I'm kind of looking towards Scheifele and Hellebuck in game four, you know. They've been the glue for this team for a long time. And I think it's on them to pick up the rest of the club when they're not at their best right now. And we'll see if they're able to do that in game four. Hopefully. I would love to be talking about a 2-2 series, Tice, because I don't know if the Jets have it in them if they drop game four, to even push it back to Colorado for a game six. So would love to see a couple more home games in Winnipeg. Let's see if the boys can make it happen. They took a couple punches. It's an 8-count right now. Get up off the mat. Fight your way back into this. Let's go. But that'll do it for the episode here. I know Tyson's got to run. And so we'll cap it. And we'll get right back at it once game four comes to an end Sunday evening. So check for that. We'll have an episode out for you guys sometime Sunday night, breaking down game four between the Jets and Avs. Until then, though, thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of Skates and Plates on the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brandon Rewicki, with CJOB's Tyson Rewicki. We'll talk to you guys Sunday night after game four between Winnipeg, Colorado. Enjoy your Saturday. Enjoy your Sunday. We'll talk then. Peace.